And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So I opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
All right, you're welcome along to the GAR. This is the Hurling Show. Damien's with us on the line, and Conal's here in the studio as usual on a Thursday. We've Michael Ryan coming up on the show because I went down to the Tipperary presser last Thursday, so we'll be bringing that to you very soon. I want to start off, lads, with Tadhg Na Bhfirce. Now, I don't want to obviously get back into the whole face guard and helmet thing, because we've talked about that a lot on the show, and I think a lot of us are on the same page. But he went to the CHC, so it was a little bit like Dear McConnelly. You go to the Central Hearings Committee first, you get your hearing heard. They have decided that they wouldn't support his case. So his next move now is to go to the CAC, which is the Central Appeals Committee. And Dermot Connolly dropped his, obviously. I can't see Tadhg Na Bhfirce dropping his. I can see them going to the CAC. And if he gets rejected there, I can see them going to the DRA. Because, yeah, Conal, he's so bloody important to Waterford, they just can't do without him.
Yeah, no, they'll take this all the way as far as they can. And I think at some stage through this process, they realise that, you know, it doesn't warrant. I don't think the punishment that he's getting. There was a bit of a tussle, but it wasn't as obvious as maybe some people think it is. You know, if you really watch, it's very hard to know whether he actually really pulled the face guard or not. And I think on that basis alone, this is Waterford's biggest game of the year, and for him to miss it on like an early, not sure whether he did it or not, I think at some stage some jury in some of those CCCs or whatever will decide to let him play.
Yeah, I think it was Moran from Limerick I was reading yesterday, and he was saying the same thing. It's very, very harsh that if you drag someone's helmet or face guard and you pull them to the ground, that's extremely dangerous. Yeah. But there's also innocuous ones where there's a tussle going on, and if there's interference with a helmet there, that might not always be deliberate interference.
Yeah, because he was trying to make the run forward, and it was the Wexler, you know.
Yeah, Kyo
was trying to stop him. So, like, look, if it was easy to see, and, you know, and he actually pulled the face guard off him, very obviously, I'd say, yeah, that's fine. You have to accept your suspension, but I don't think it'll really stand up when it goes a little bit further and further. And Waterford will take this all the way, because he is absolutely huge to what Waterford want, how Waterford play and how they get on the next couple of weeks and going forward.
Yeah, Damien, that's it. He'll go the whole way, and, like, I mean, we've seen it happen. We've seen it with Dear McConnelly. He seemed to always use his example because he's been through this process so often. But he's actually got off a punch with Lee Keegan on the grounds of self-defence. Now, there's no self-defence within the GA rules, but when you go to the DRA,
yeah,
it's not necessarily it's the GA rules they're looking at, and they thought Dear McConnelly was defending himself by punching Lee Keegan and he got off it. So maybe when he goes to the DRA, Damien, that Tadhg Na Bhfirce will be seen, look, he wasn't the aggressor. This is him kind of defending himself, pushing Kyo away, and the DRA might get him off.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, Colin. Look, there was nothing malicious in what he'd done, right? And I kind of agree with you. He kind of was trying to get rid of Kyo, get away, and maybe he tangled with his face guard. And I've spoken about this before. I've seen lads chopping down other lads' hands while they're striking the ball. And as I often said, the hands are a long way away from the ball like this. But this is all about togetherness now for Waterford. This is about, you know, the unity in the squad, and they're going to stick together on this, and they're going to use the passion, and they're going to try to bring the best out. And they need the Bhfirce. The Bhfirce has been central to everything that they've been doing, so they have, for the last 3-4 years. So he's a key player. He's their game plan player, because he's their sweeper, but he's also their outlet ball, that where they find the Bhfirce and the Bhfirce then distributes the ball. So I've said this before, I hope he gets off. I'd like to see Waterford in an All-Ireland semi-final playing Cork. I'd like to see Cork with their full hand. I'd like to see Waterford with their full hand. I'd like to see them going hammer and tongs at it up in Croke Park. You want to see all the best players on it. But as I said, I'd say something if it was malicious. I'd say something if it was a dirty sly belt or whatever, you know. But you know who I blame for this, Con? Right? And I'll say it straight out. I blame the linesman. The linesman down there in Corky Cueve, like this. It was a thing of nothing. He brought it to the attention of the referee. He got the Bhfirce sent off with a straight red, and all I can say is shame on him, right? Because it was a thing of nothing. No, it was a thing of nothing, and he's now maybe after destroying that young lad's dream, number one, the Bhfirce. I know by him, he's a nice young lad, right? I say shame on him, right? And I bet you there was worse belts given in that game, an off the ball incident, and I bet you didn't bring it to the attention of the referee. So this is all the linesman's fault.
Yeah, well, look, I suppose in the linesman's defence, it's down in the rules. I think the problem here is with the rule rather than referees or linesmen who seem to be having this blanket kind of...
That's fine, but did he carry out the rules on every other piece of the rules book?
Yeah.
And off the ball, giving it to a lad, off the ball, giving a lad 6 inches, lad standing on top of him, pushing him, holding his jersey, pulling his togs, all that sort of stuff. That's the question you need to ask.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's fair enough. We've loads of stuff to get through here before we get into this Michael Ryan interview. I'm going to start with Derek McGrath here, Conal. And there's bad news for Dublin fans this week because Derek McGrath has denied. The whole rumours were going around as Derek McGrath. I actually heard it wasn't even coming in as Dublin manager. It was going to come in as looking after the underage structures and kind of getting that kind of thing. Maybe like what Anthony Daly's doing in Limerick. Is that what was going around, or was it the kind of idea that he was going to come in as manager?
Yeah, like I heard those rumours probably over a month ago, like, and it was absolutely madness. As if a manager, you know, at this stage of the season would be talking to any other county. Like, it's just absolutely crazy. I don't know where it came from, but it definitely grew legs and went further and further. Obviously, you know, went as far as Derek McGrath himself.
Yeah.
Look, I don't think I think he came out himself and rubbished the rumours, and there's absolutely no truth to it. Like, but
That's the level of manager Dublin want to be going for.
Someone like him is exactly what they're looking for. You know, you read everything about Derek McGrath, and you read what the players say about him, and the relationship he has with the players is just incredible. You know, and he treats everyone the same. You know, and he's like a father figure to all of those players, and that's what Dublin need. They need a man that can come in there and manage the team, you know, and really coax the best out of players. Well, not what was being done previously. It doesn't work, you know. You need to be bringing everyone with you, keeping everyone on side, talking to everyone, and that's exactly what Derek McGrath has been doing with this Waterford team. So someone like him is exactly what they want. But that was a bit mad. Like, as if he'd be talking and coming into the biggest game of the season for Waterford, as if he'd be talking to Dublin.
I think that this rumour, I'd say, Damien, has come out of the fact that Derek is full time managing Waterford now. This is his last year as Waterford manager, so people are putting two and two together. The Dublin job is up. The Dublin job is probably a full time job, because, okay, from what we hear, you're fairly well reimbursed for your time with Dublin, because, like, I don't think Jim Gavin is, but I think the hurling manager is, because they're obviously trying to improve the standard and bring the profile of Dublin hurling up. So they might pay a manager, give them expenses, whatever that way is. So I think people are maybe putting two and two together and getting five on this one.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. And there's an awful lot of names we mentioned there for the Dublin job, you know, so there is. But Derek McGrath, he would be a good choice for Dublin. I think Dublin needs something. Dublin needs something really new. They need something like they did when they went and they got Anthony Daly, so that he brought a real new energy, a buzz about the place, a whole lot. And like we all know, Davy Fitz's name has been mentioned there as well. You know, I think Donal O'Cusick's name was being mentioned. Then you've got Matty Kinney's name has been mentioned as well, who won a Club All-Ireland with Coola. But there's a lot of names. But at the moment, the highest profile name of that is McGrath. And, like, them rumours are circulating. And you can see all the logistics and all the reasons why they'd be going for McGrath. But at the moment, I'd say McGrath would be interested in the job if the right package came. But at the moment, I'd say he's not even thinking of it. He's a job through there at Waterford, and this might be a massive opportunity for Waterford to win in All-Ireland, and I'd say he's concentrating on nothing else, only Waterford hurling.
Yeah, Conal, I'd say you'd be unbelievably excited about Derek McGrath, like you said. And Waterford, with the motorway, is only like an hour and a half from Dublin, or it's 2 hours at the most from Dublin. So it's not like it's a horrible commute, and it's not the worst drive in the world, and there'd be no traffic in the evenings when he'd be going towards Dublin and back. It's well doable for Derek McGrath, there's no doubt about that. He's the greatest manager in hurling or football, maybe Jim McGuinness, for being honest in interviews. And he proves that you can be a top level manager and be honest, and he's salt of the earth, and you can see why his players love him, and you can just understand what makes Derek McGrath. And he's a very good tactician as well. He thinks about the game a little bit different, a little bit like Davy Fitz. He's not afraid to try things, and who's to say if he went into Dublin he'd have a whole different set of players, and Derek McGrath might try something else as well. Like, it would be exciting to get him involved.
I know, look, it would be absolutely great for Dublin hurling. Like, I think that's what they need. They need a big name now to galvanise everyone, because there's no doubt that in Dublin hurling is seriously suffering at the minute.
But the only way is up. It's a great job for someone. Yeah,
it is a great job, but still it needs the right person to come in to really set the fire again. again like Daly did, you know, and start beating the drum and saying, let's go play hurling, let's get all the young lads back playing hurling, because at the minute everyone is talking about football, and you know, you want to be getting excited about hurling again in the city, because it's certainly dead at the minute. And someone like Derek McGrath, yeah, it would be great logistically. You know, I'm sure they're probably looking for a big name to come in and restructure a lot of it, and yes, it could be a full time role going around the schools promoting the game and all that, and maybe someone like Dave McGrath would have the time to do that in kind of a dual role, if you like. But I really don't think he's really going to take it. I don't think realistically he's on the table with this Waterford team being so close. And I know, yeah, it could,
well,
be
he's
his
done
last
this year. He said it's his last year. Yeah. Like, he's done this year. This is why Derek McGrath's name probably has come into the frame, because he's available. He is available as soon as Waterford lose this year.
Yeah, well, I'd be very surprised if he took it. I just think there's something else coming down the line that will surprise everyone, and I think it'll only be good for Dublin, because the county
Conal Keeney, maybe.
No, I think the county board need to get it right. They obviously got it wrong the last time. They nearly admit that, but now they just need to get it right. And it's a huge job, and a very attractive job too.
Yeah, I always think on this thing, not to go too much on this. Like, I think the county board should talk to yourself, talk to players who are just out of the game, and go, who would you like? You know what I mean? Who, like, I genuinely think, or have you on the interview board, for example? Like, I mean, I hate county board officials interviewing managers, because they've no idea. Like, you mean?
No, I think, to be fair to the Dublin County Board, I remember when, you know, Daly was there for coming up to his last couple of years. You know, Andy Kettle, the manager, or the chairman at the time, did touch base with a couple of senior players and said, look, what's the story here? Do you want Daly to stay on another year? How's the feeling? And, you know, he was open with that. He talked to Daly about, does Daly want to stay? Do the players want Daly? So the Dublin County Board are a little bit maybe different, that they do talk to players, and they are open to, it's not like, there's your manager, you know, get on with it. Well, it wasn't the case, you know. They were very open to talking to players and listening to their views. So I'm sure they're going to contact some of the senior players on that team at the minute and sound them out about a couple of names, because that's the way they operate. They are very open, and they understand that if the players have to be happy nowadays, yeah, if they're not happy with what they have, well, then they're on the wrong road.
Yeah, the reason I say this, Damien, is because I often feel like there's some managers. There's the Tomás O'Flaherty's, there's the Peter Creedens, like Mick Lillis. There's like, they're the last three leash managers, and they haven't been great. But, like, I mean, I can imagine Tomás O'Flaherty, he's managed loads of different teams. I can imagine him in an interview process would be very impressive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I can imagine county board, the three or four that interview him, going, Jesus, he's got like charts here, and he's got like, he's saying what. Whereas, like, I mean, a player might see this and go, you know, ask him a question that might throw him, you know, what's your game plan here, mate? You know what I mean? How are we going to be playing? Like, an ex-player I'm talking about. I think that it's very easy. And you look at Luke Dempsey's, you look at, you know, these managers, Tom Carr, they've managed three or four different counties and they haven't done well, but they seem to get these jobs. And it's not under past record they're getting the jobs. It must be under interview process. So I'm wondering how easy it is for these fellas to bamboozle county board officials into getting jobs.
Well, that's exactly it, Colm. And the big thing to say there is, an awful lot of them names that you've named there are all old school, right? And you take Derek McGrath and Davy Fitz, right? They're all modern day hurlers. They've all played and seen the modern day, and now they're changing the style of hurling with their game plans and sweepers and having tactics and having a man coming in the 50th minute, for example, Morris Shannon, that sort of stuff, as an impact sub, right? But I agree 100% with you. You'd want to get on the board for the interview panel if you're going interviewing managers. Get some past players, get lads that are interested, lads that are diehards, that would do it instead of having county board officials, because some of them county board officials, with no disrespect, some of them wouldn't know an awful lot about it. So they wouldn't, right? And sometimes to say that they have a major part in selecting a manager that they have for an intercounty team sometimes does be amazing. But for success in intercounty level, you need to have a top class manager and a top class trainer. And if you have that, you're going a long way, because all the players will buy into it. And, you know, to be fair to Davy Fitz, the proof in the pudding there with Davy Fitz when he went down to Wexford, like, he brought renewed energy and the whole lot. The boys on the interview panel, they brought a good man down there, so they had. So absolutely, sometimes you want to tell maybe the county board lads to step aside. We're putting a panel together of three or four lads to go and pick this manager, and whoever it's going to be for Dublin, best luck to them, because the last 3 years under Gerard Cunningham just didn't go well, just to put it mildly, and they've gone backwards, if anything.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And in fairness to a lot of county boards, they do put panels together to pick managers, and I think Leach did that as well. But, you know...
Were you on the panel?
I wasn't. I'd run a pretty tight interview now if I was on a panel. I think it would be an interrogation if I was on that panel. You want to have your homework done if you want to come and bamboozle me with stuff. Right, two more things, lads. It's Cathal Barrett. Mick Ryan obviously ruled out the opportunity of Cathal Barrett to come back into the squad. I get both your thoughts on that. We know their full back line. I think that, again, this is kind of, it was started in the media and on social media because Tipperary full back line was poor against Clare. Cathal Barrett's obviously an excellent corner back, so they put two and two together and went, Mick Ryan, you have to bring this man back in. Whereas, like, I don't think that kind of thing works at that late stage in the game.
No, like, I think this Tipperary team could do with him. I agree with that, but they can't go away from what they've been preaching all year as a management team.
Yeah,
and I read somewhere that some of the senior players approached him and asked him, can he come back in some kind of form? But to be fair to Michael Ryan, he has to stick to his guns. You know, if he's seen to bend the knee here, you know, well then his whole management ethos is nearly out the window. He's standing by. He's made some huge calls in the last couple of years, and some of them worked, some of them didn't work. But if he can't be seen to, he's going forward without him. And albeit, you know, if they're beaten in the weekend, there'll be a lot of talk, and it'll probably define his managerial career. People will say, well, if we had him cornerback, you know, we've got the lucky goal or whatever. And even it won't go away. Even if Tipperary win, if they get to the final and they get beaten in the final, it'll still come back to haunt him. But look, he's made huge decisions before this, and he's not afraid to make the decisions. And he's sticking to what he knows, and he's been seems to be fair enough. You know, he seems to be playing lads on form, and he's not afraid to make the big calls. Look how many times he took off Callaghan in games, you know, just to give people a kick in the arse. And this is probably him standing up again, saying, no, we're sticking with the panel that we have. The ground rules are there. He broke one of the rules, so he's out, and we're moving on as a team. It's not about any individual.
Yeah, and that's taking Damien, and I suppose if he lets him back, all these rules, people will be going, oh well, next year I can step out of line and he'll give me 6 weeks off and I'll get back in, you know. So Mick Ryan's looking towards next year maybe rather than this decision this year, and you know, the wheels could fall off if he starts giving that second chances, I suppose.
Colm, I knew well that Barrett wouldn't come back into the panel for all the simple reasons. Mick Ryan is after coming in there as manager. He was a selector there long enough for Tipperary for nearly some like 7 or 8 seasons. He got the management job, so he did, after Eamon O'Shea. So he took over the team last year. He put his own stamp in the team. He brought new players into the panel like this. He got the best out of the team. This year, Barrett stepped out of line. The biggest thing that in every setup where there's success, there has to be discipline. Right, that's the big thing, right? Even I see it there sometimes down with the garage in Innes. Sometimes your biggest challenges are your own staff. Right, and this was one of his own players that crossed the line. He stamped his authority, he disciplined him, he dropped him off the panel. At the moment, he's injured as well, right? So people are there calling out for Barrett to come back into the team because their Tipperary full back line are a little bit dodgy and all that sort of stuff. That's grand, but what hurling has Barrett done in the last couple of weeks? They'd be putting in Barrett in from the cold, into cornerback, we'll say, and marking someone like Whelan, who's an absolutely super player.
Yeah, who actually...
So I could never see... I could never see Barrett. Yeah, go on, Colm.
Sorry, Whelan actually roasted Barrett in the league final, which is interesting enough. Yeah. And I think Barrett.
And the reason why he was left on when he was asked why was Barrett left on for the league final was because he was after coming back from an ankle injury and he needed a hurling that he was very rusty. Now he got injured again, so they're hardly going to put him back in. So they are. And plus, I said in the last show, Colm, if they brought Barrett back into the squad, as you said, there'd be lads then to be able to, you know, cross the line maybe next year or even later on in the season if they get over Galway. But it was all for the morale of the team. How could you bring in Barrett straight back into the team? What would the likes of the Mickey Calls and all these, or even the Donagh Maher, who played the last and played very well but has been trying to get onto the team for the last 2 or 3 seasons? It was all about morale and about togetherness. And I just have this sneaky suspicion as well. We're all talking about the Tipperary full back line. It mightn't be their problem line the next day, you know, because there's so much talk about it mightn't be their problem. So, but I knew well Barrett wouldn't be brought back into the panel for all the obvious reasons.
Yeah, and I don't think it was ever on the mind of Michael Ryan. Talking of Michael Ryan, lads, like I said at the start of the show, I was down at Tipperary Presser down in Turles last Thursday night and I caught up with Michael Ryan, and here's how it went. Mick, this has been a real roller coaster ride of a year for Tipperary hurling. Is that fair to say?
I think it's 100% fair to say, to be honest with you. Yeah, it has. It's had it all. And I was even saying to some of the lads earlier on, you know, up to the league final, we were almost in a you know, a honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
We weren't winning every match or anything like it, but you know, it almost seemed like we could do no wrong. And until that fateful day when we met Galway, that quickly let the air out of the balloon. And to be honest, I suppose the Munster Championship came just too soon for us as well. You know, so we got two real, you know, significant losses straight after each other. So, and that set us off in a whole chain of events, and you know, it set us down a rocky road that we've literally just come out of.
Just come out of it now. Talk to us about the rocky road then, Mick, because like you said, your first year you win in All Ireland, then the league, it's like the whole talk is this dynasty of Tipperary, and like you were trying to block that out, which is 100% fair enough. Then the losses came. Then you had that 5-week break where there's a whole load of shitstorm going on there in Tipperary. Like, did you feel at any stage you're losing control, you know, of the situation? Or
No. It never felt like that at all, to be honest. You know, knowing these guys and how hard they work and what a decent bunch of guys they are, and they really make huge sacrifices. I suppose the one thing that we were just hugely concerned about was, you know, has there a softness crept in here that we just can't seem to stop?
Yeah.
Now look, 2017 isn't finished. We're in an All Ireland semi-final. We have a chance. But I'm happy to report, you know, when the scorecard is handed in for 2017, it will not have been softness that can stop Tipperary. That is not the issue.
Right.
You know. Now look, I'm hoping that there will be no issue, but it is really, really difficult to keep winning. And what it has taught me is really and truly is a whole other, and I thought I couldn't possibly respect Kilkenny much more than I do, but what it has really taught me is what a team they are, or the likes of your Dublin footballers, what a team
just
they
machines.
Are.
Machines.
They're machines.
Yeah.
That they can just keep winning and keep such a focus and such a hunger year in, year out. Here we are after winning, having one really, really good year. And we meet a speed bump then, and it derails us. Now, we met two, and it derailed us somewhat, you know. But, look, we're alive, thankfully.
Yeah.
And we got the ship back on track. And now we stuttered, and we'd be the first to admit that we stuttered. We were anything but impressive in our qualifier win here in Thurles over Westmeath. Thankfully, a good bit better against Dublin, and our forwards were excellent. They put up a good scoreline.
That clicked you back into gear.
I think it did. And you know what? It was incremental. I don't think we could have arrived at the place where we played Clare last week. And not that was perfect now, but we were not capable of that performance 3 weeks ago or four weeks ago. We hadn't earned the right to play like that, if you like. And I know that may not be a great description, but that's how I'd see it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's interesting you mentioned that softness there, because I was reading Nicky English wrote a piece and he went, it's the mentality of Tipperary can't ever seem to retain it in his lifetime. He mentioned 1990, he mentioned 2002, and he said that it's always in hindsight, you look back, you think everything's going well, and he said you look back and there was a softness. I think he actually used the word softness. Yeah. I wrote it down here, so it's interesting that you say that as well.
Well, we do, you know. Number one, we use a lot of the same language, you know. But it would have been a reasonably fair accusation about Tipperary, you know, that they'll win one, but you know, they'll celebrate too long or too hard, and they won't train hard enough. And you know, we almost need that kick to you know, or skip a year per se. But who wants to do that?
Yeah.
You know, watch a year slip you by. So I suppose, you know, the one thing that we're adamant about is that, and you know, we're in the All-Ireland semi-final. You're coming up in the All-Ireland semi-final. You've got the four best teams left. I think that's pretty fair assessment. Hard luck stories for sure. Clare could have chinned us, but by and large, you end up with the four best teams, and this is game on. Winner takes all to go forward into the All-Ireland final. The prize is massive, so whatever has happened before actually is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Once you're standing up, and everyone who's in this semi-final are standing up straight, unless you've some fundamental injuries in your squad that, you know, you're shorn of talent. But that's not the case. We're fine. We will be grand. But you ask any of those players, the two boys that were here with us today, this is the holy grail of hurling, to be in Croke Park in August and to have a chance to be in it, in there again in September, it doesn't get any better for these guys. Yeah. They love it.
And you've been talking about playing Galway, and we'll talk about that in a minute. I was just wondering how you dealt with the Cork loss, because you had that 5-week wait. I know myself from playing with Laois, like, it could be up to 6-week wait for the qualifiers in football when you lose the first round, and it's a horrible time. It really is a horrible time.
It is, and you know, and like we had our own issues. Our own issues being, you know, we want to let the guys get back to their clubs, which is hugely important, but we want to measure that so that, you know, they're getting the right amount of external activity or club activity, and you know, they're hard enough bedfellows now to get right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and in fairness to the players, they're the last guys that should be the meat and the sandwich here. But we were trying to, insofar as we could, influence the games or control the amount of games, because, like, this is knockout hurling. Our you know, and if you're at our game against Westmeath, we were terrible. We were terrible now. And that's not a disrespect to Westmeath. It just reflects on us.
Yeah.
You know, we were vulnerable. That's the bloody situation you find yourself in, because it's knockout hurling and your last game is 5 weeks ago and you really have no base. So
did you let them back to the club for 2 or 3 weeks or you didn't have them?
Yeah, well, you know, we let them, obviously week one was complete rest. Then we let them back to their clubs, but we felt we always had to touch them at least once a week. We had to see them because in my experience down through the years, I think anything beyond a week and it just doesn't work for us. You know, that touch, that really sharp touch, you know, if you let that standard slip, it's really, really hard to build that back up again. It's not a switch, you know, and it might, you know, that I'm aware, you know, Dublin footballers might be released for a block of 2 weeks, but I'm not making drawing huge comparisons between hurling and football, but it is, in my opinion, your touch in hurling is just gold.
Vital.
It defines, you know, it just makes your job so easy, much easier, or so much more difficult, you know. So we constantly push that whole, that skill piece has to be kept honed, and I suppose that's the term I'd use.
So I suppose leaving them back to the club, like, it's working on the mental side of the game after the Cork loss you needed to do, but you didn't have them probably for...
Not all the time, but you know what, no, and it is important to acknowledge, it's good for them to go away to their clubs.
Yeah, just
really
to get away from it.
Absolutely, and let some pressure out of the system, because, you know, we had this hiatus, this 5-week hiatus, where we couldn't redeem ourselves. We hadn't a chance, you know, you can't play. So we can train and we can get ready and we can do various things, but it was important, you know, there is I know we're straying into other areas now, but there is a correlation there that where guys need to play with their clubs and keep that balance right, but they really do need to keep a foot in both camps, in my opinion. If you could write this perfect script, both camps should see their players. I suppose my own opinion is they should do their training with us, because they're, you know, it's measured perfectly for them.
Yeah, one end and then the other start. Maybe.
Exactly.
Look, me looking in from the outside at Tipperary hurling, the supporters are bloody demanding. Like, I know Paddy made that statement about the Kerry fans, but I see Tipperary the same. Like, the fallout from a loss, they always want to fall. You know what I mean? They want a reason why this is after happening. Was that like?
Yeah.
Was it hard to deal with that?
You know, we were all disappointed. You know, let's say that for the first. It is born out of disappointment. That's what it is born out of. Like this, you can imagine, and I, you know, look, I'll be saying, when I step out of this role, I will be a Tip supporter. And will I be hard to please? Possibly. Just you want these guys to be successful. You know, we are surrounded by almost every hurling county of relevance. And we're constantly taking chips off each other. You know, it's just the nature of the game.
Yeah.
Our biggest rivals, Kilkenny, you know, they probably share the biggest border we have here, you know, on the east side of Tip. So I suppose the point being, these are, you know, you have these border areas and people are, you know, meeting each other socially and whatever else. And we, you know, they're all friends. They all meet each other. The slagging is just desperate, you know. And so, you know, you can imagine we've this great team, a really, really promising team that we've finally done, you know, made a breakthrough. They want us to stay at this level, you know. They're not foolish enough to think that we're just going to go on a roll and become Kilkenny-esque. I think what they have achieved is completely phenomenal. But they want us to be as competitive as we possibly can. And they want us to, you know, be as successful as we possibly can. And when they see that slipping away,
They're disappointed.
We love our game.
Yeah.
We love our game.
But just on that 5 weeks, right, wondering, do you think you've improved as a manager? You know, because you obviously had the Carl Barrett situation to deal with. Then there was that rumour, you know, about Paddy and Shamey, and I don't want to go into that, yeah. But you would have still had to deal with it as well, or maybe talk to the lads. Then there was the Gleeson thing as well. So you're like putting out a lot of fires, you know, in that short space of time.
Yeah, and look, you know, what I'd say to you about that is, number one, don't for a second think that I do this on my own. We have a very strong management team, and they're all around, well, Declan Fanning would shoot me. He's more like
he's the runner, the fit one.
But, you know, there's a lot of maturity, there's a lot of life experiences, life skills, I suppose, within, you know, John Madden, Connor and myself, you know, because we're more or less the same age. We're all in our mid to late 40s. Decky is 10 years younger than us. But, like, what we realise fully is that these guys are individuals first, and they're real people, and they have real things going on in their lives, and they need us to support them. You know, yeah, our job is to help them as Tipperary hurlers, but it does transcend a little bit beyond that. And I suppose what they really need from us is, look, we're here to manage your hurling life and help you in every possible way we can. But we're very conscious that they need support outside of that as well. So are we better at that? I think we are. Yeah, I think we are. I think we're better people as a result of our experiences in here. But look, I'm a father to three kids, you know, and a husband to my wife. So look, we're dealing with people every single day of the week. You're married, you know, you're dealing with 35 fellas on the panel. They have so much going on, you know, from their own relationships with their girlfriends, wives, maybe difficulties in college, maybe not in a college, in a course that they want, not in a job that they're getting on well in. You know, no, they don't bring that to us, you know, but we have to support.
You have to look out for
we
it,
have to
as
support,
well.
You know, yeah. And we have to watch. You say, you know, is a guy struggling for a little bit of form here? And can we help that? And
why trying, is
you
that?
Know,
yeah.
Exactly. You yeah. know, and we've great support as well as that. You know, we use Tony O'Gregan and Jerry Hussey. They work with us as well, and they're great guys. You know, and they have a skill set I don't have. But look, we'd like to think we look after these guys the best way we can.
Yeah. Okay. Just finally, we may mention the match with Galway. Like, this is a trilogy after two absolute classics. Yeah. You know, like, I'd love to see you meeting in the final maybe sometime. You know, but like, there will be no need for motivating your players against Galway this time, you know, after the two classics and the league final as well. So,
yeah, look, I'm hoping that whole league final was an aberration. It may, you know, it better have been, or else we're in trouble. I think the clashes we've had over the last couple of years have been pretty much
great
out
games,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much out there. You know, we've nothing but total respect for this Galway team that are coming. I think they're better than they were. And I'm not saying that. I know it's easy to throw away those comments.
They're a huge team, aren't they?
They're big guys. They're really, really big guys.
But footballers are too. I don't know what's in the water in Galway.
But that wouldn't do them justice just to say that they're big guys.
No.
They're top hurlers. They have some of the most talented players in the country. You know, and obviously, you know, Joe Canning leads that list. But they have several others. This is a top team. I think they're very like ourselves in that they've been building this for a couple of years, and they've been at a really good level for a couple of years now. And they're, like us, looking for the big breakthrough.
See, can you play on the fact that they haven't made that breakthrough yet, and you have? You know what I mean? You've gotten over that line, whereas they're still waiting to get to that, so there's that bit of nervousness might creep into that.
Well, you know, how we all react differently to those kind of challenges. But that was exactly our story last year.
Yeah.
We hadn't crossed that same line. You know,
and you were nervous that day too.
Of course we were. But look, you know what? It comes down to a game of hurling at the end of the day. And, you know, we need, number one, for us, we have to get our intensity levels and our performance levels right up. You know, not the levels that we've seen over the last number of weeks. We need to arrive at the Parky Cueve intensity level plus a level that, you know, that Croke Park will demand, because anything less than that will not be good enough.
Yeah.
So to have a fighting chance, we've got to take that performance level right up. And look, you know, try and nullify the several threats that Galway will bring, because they will bring several threats. They're a very rounded team. I think they and Cork are the form teams of the championship so far in 2017. I think that's a very fair assessment. The semi-finals haven't yet been played, and I think it's quite a level playing pitch for us all. I think they'll be great games.
They will be great games. Listen, well, best of luck with it.
Thanks.
Anyways.
No bother, Colin. Good to see you.
Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans.
Yeah, lads, Michael Ryan has done pretty well to steady that ship, because like I was talking to him there, you know, they lose to Cork on the back of losing to Galway, embarrassingly. And then in the 5 weeks waiting for the qualifiers, you have these Paddy Marsh, Shane McAllen rumours. You have Gleeson, the goalkeeper, having some personal issues. Mm. And you have the Cathal Barrett bloody thing where he had to deal with that. So, like, Mick Ryan has really been tested. In his first year, everything went according to plan. This year, he's had to deal with an awful lot of stuff.
Yeah, he has. Like, but a lot of that stuff is nonsense. Like, it's you know, out of control. It probably doesn't even affect the camp. You know, I remember we were involved, especially with the footballers. There was always hype outside of the squad, and it's when you were going to work or some of your mates would say something to you, like absolutely ridiculous stuff that you wouldn't even have thought of. You know, and people would just make up stuff, or they hear something and they add something to it and just pass it on because they like to hear that, like to go on with that kind of stuff. But when you're actually there in the squad and the training and getting prepared for the games, all that stuff is irrelevant. It doesn't even come into your mind or even thinking of how you're going to play, because you're so engrossed in, you know, what kind of a game plan you're going to play, who you're going to be playing, who you're going to be marking, and your own diet and everything that goes with it. You just, I don't think it really comes into it. But yeah, it can be tough maybe for the management to control the players and, you know, to keep them away from that.
Because the feeling was that the wheels were falling off Tip. You know what I mean? That was the feeling out there. So, and then these little things flaring up, and it was like, Jesus, that's... And then the Westmeath game on top of that. Yeah, so it looked like, Jesus, these lads are in a bad place.
Yeah, but coming into that, like, even after they won the All-Ireland last year, like, people were saying, even people here were saying that they were invincible. You know, that this team are going to win the All-Ireland, no problem at all. You know, so he has to keep that. I'm sure he was levelling that as well as he was levelling the other side of it, saying, look, we're not that bad. You know, we're just going through a little bit of blip at the minute. But if we work really hard, keep our head down, and our form will come, and we'll keep getting results. And look, we got a nice draw against Westmeath. We got a nice draw against, you know, relatively Dublin. You know, we're coming good at the right time. So I'm sure he's just preaching all of that. And they are really coming good at the right time. You know, they're still there, and they're still very much... and contenders for this All-Ireland this year, and albeit they mightn't be the world beaters that everyone thought they were coming in, but it's still a nice stick to have for Michael Ryan in training to keep beating them with.
Yeah, no, I think it is. Here, I want to talk about Galway for a little while, Damien. This 5 week break, now the 5 week break traditionally has kind of worked for Kilkenny because we're so used to it, but Galway, in that 5 week break, Galway didn't know who they were playing for 3 of those weeks, right? So, like, I mean, I'm sure that has its own difficulties where you're training and you're like, I mean, there's nothing better to focus your mind than who you're playing. You know, managers will use it all the time, they'll use it with individual players, who you're marking, you know, and getting you up for it, and you can become totally focused. 3 weeks there in limbo. So then they find out it's Tipperary when Tipperary beat Clare. So then last week they went down to Fota Wildlife Park for a training camp. So, like, I mean, all the focus tactically and concentrating on the opposition, I presume, would have been done on that. Maybe it was a long weekend or a Friday, Saturday and Sunday down in Fota.
But sure, Colm, you have to remember they played Tipperary in the league, and they also played Tipperary in last year's All-Ireland semi-final.
Well, that's
so
true.
Right? And you have to remember there's basically it's the same core of players on both teams. Now, people mightn't realise this, right? But Micheál Dunne is the manager of Galway, as we all know, right? But Micheál Dunne, who was a hidden selector on the Tipperary team for the last, we'll say, 2 years previous, right? So he was a hidden selector under Eamon O'Shea, who brought him in. Now, he wasn't a named selector, right? But he was on the backroom team for the Tipperary panel, right? So he knows absolutely everything about these Tipperary players. He knows everything because he worked with these players for 2 years. Now, I often wonder, what does Michael Ryan think of this, or what does Michael Ryan think of Eamon O'Shea now, in the sense that he brought what we call an outsider from Galway down to Tipperary to become what we call a hidden selector stats man, whatever you want to call it, right? So he knows absolutely everything about it, and I feel this game is going to be a battle, right, of the sidelines, right? Because let's get it right. Tipperary played Galway last year, and Tipperary were meant to win this game. Tipperary were 5 weeks in limbo like this, and Michael Ryan, or Micheál Dún nearly got the better of Michael Ryan, and many people said he should have, right? And if it wasn't maybe for John Hansbury, you know, slipping and missing the ball and the ball going in to John McGrath, and he giving the hand pass into Bubbles, and Bubbles doing absolute magic along the sideline, Galway possibly could have won that game, right? So Galway went away and they said to themselves, what do they need to do? You know, and people mightn't realise this way either, right? But Micheál Dún went and he stole Headhunter's got, whatever you want to call it, Tipperary's physical and conditioning coach. He's a Polish guy. His name is Lucas. Now, I don't know his second name, to be honest, right? But he was meant to be the main man behind that Tipperary team. He's meant to be absolute the dog's business, right? And Galway now have him as their physical conditioning coach this year. Right, and now people are saying Galway are flying it, and Galway are very strong, and Galway look very fit, and they're very lean. Well, this is the last year's Tipperary strength and conditioning coach.
Right.
So now it's very, very interesting that Micheál Ryan, who worked with Micheál Dún under Eamon O'Shea, right? Next thing, all of a sudden, Micheál Dún now becomes the manager of Galway. So he was with Tipperary for 2 years. He's now with Galway as the manager. He nearly beats him. He humiliates him in a league final. He takes his physical conditioning coach from Tipperary. I think this game is going to be a little bit personal towards the management, and like you're wondering like how Galway have been. It's the same scenario as Tipperary. Tipperary were in limbo there for 5 weeks last year waiting for Galway, right? And Galway have been the same. Now we did play 1 week of club championship, so they've been 4 weeks in limbo, but it's just going to be interesting to see how Galway have dealt with the waiting around and how much have Tipperary improved since they're a little bit of a drop in form earlier in the year. So I'm really, really interested in how this game is going to pan out, because I think Tipperary, game plan wise, need to really kind of up it a bit, because in the league final they're humiliated, right? Plus players that should have been taken off, they weren't. Last year, for example, Galway targeted Kennedy at wing back, put Joe on him, so they did at wing forward, you know. So they put Shamey Canlan, or they put Dahi Burke on Shamey Canlan, stuck him and marked him everywhere, and they went man for man and they followed everywhere. So it's going to be very similar. So it's just interesting to see what game plan or what idea is Michael Ryan going to come up with to try unreal Galway.
See, I don't think Michael Ryan's that type of manager, is he, Conal? I'd see Michael Ryan as in, look, this is us, let's concentrate on our own game. I don't see Tipperary coming up with anything really new. Like, you can almost pick the Tipperary team here now. Maybe James Barry could go full back and a corner back come in potentially, but I can't see too many changes. Whereas Micheál Donoghue, I don't think he gets the credit he deserves for maybe changing things up, like, you know, game on game. Like, I mean, Davy Fitz was talking about the Leinster final and this tactic that Micheál Donoghue did. He said that was never picked up by any of the pundits and it was really good. Now, we don't know whether to take Davy at his word,
yeah,
or, you know, whether this is actually Micheál Donoghue said it was very, very clever. So, like, I mean, because Micheál Donoghue isn't this charismatic, big kind of personality in the game, like, he's kind of quietly effective.
No, he certainly is, and like, there's no talk of him whatsoever. You know, you never really see him in the papers too much coming out saying anything.
No, I've tried to get him on the show, and it's a respectful no.
Yeah,
you know, this kind of a.
So, like, there's a lot to be said for that, and a lot of the times, not knowing what's going on and not knowing is dangerous too. But look, Michael Ryan is coming out, and he does interviews, but he doesn't say very much anyway. But look, no, it is an interesting point that Damien's saying. They're robbing bits and pieces from each other in the last couple of years.
Now, we can't blame Eamon O'Shea here. He's not to know that in 3 years' time this fella's going to prove himself to be good and become the Galway manager. You sound like you're blaming him here, Damien. But
well, I think people, if you want me to be honest, I think people, Micheál Dún was after winning the club at Ireland with Clare and Bridge. Next thing, he ended up down with Eamon O'Shea, down with Tipperary, and
okay,
his name was being mentioned.
Yeah,
his name was being mentioned, and basically when Cunningham was got rid of, he was the odds-on favourite to become the next Galway manager, so he was. And I'll put this with you. I think Micheál Dún had his sights set on getting the Galway job, and fair play to him, because if that's where his ambition was, and when he got offered to come in behind the scenes with Eamon O'Shea, he went down there to get experience and learn as much as he could. But that's why I do often wonder, what does Michael Ryan think now that they had a lad coming up from Galway learning everything about what they do down there, for example? Because Tipperary, after winning the All-Ireland, and they were there and thereabouts, it was between Tipperary and Kilkenny for years, and next thing, all of a sudden, he could have brought down all these ideas. It's like getting a salesman, Colin, right, and you train them for 3 months, and then he leaves your garage and he goes to your opposition competition.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same thing. So I often just wonder what does be in the mindset of them. So, but yeah, it should be interesting. It reminds me of McGuinness versus McGeaney. this type of, it should be a management tactic with Donegal versus Kildare at that time. So I think Sunday's going to be intriguing, to be honest. And yeah. I think there's going to be a game plan needed. Like I often say, what if Tipperary put Shamey Cannell in corner forward and Galway were going to man-mark him with Doughty Burke? Do Galway want Doughty Burke playing cornerback? Just for example, and if they put John McGrath in full forward. You know, so this is where I'm saying it's going to be very... Are they going to let Ronan Maher run around after Joe Cannon if Joe Cannon goes out around the middle of the field? Or, for example, tackle, is Brendan Maher going to pick him up straight away and leave Ronan Maher as the sweeper? You know, or is Jason Ford going to be playing wing forward the next day, which the rumours are, and is he going to come out as a tactical base, go out towards midfield to pick up David Burke and let Brendan Maher sit in front of the half-back line? I think next Sunday's battle could be intriguing. That, and I think a lot of it is going to be won on the sideline.
Yeah, there's so many different things that can be done. Like, I mean, Cottle Mannion will come back in. Does he go wing forward and try to run Paddy Maher all over the place, like Cork got so much success? Yeah. Or does, like, Conor Whelan come out and do that job? But he's been doing so well in the corner. If you do that, you could get blamed for messing up a player who's on form. But there's so many different things that both teams can do tactically to try and knock each other off.
Yeah, there is. Like, it's impossible to guess what either management team are going to do, really, obviously. Like, but, you know, people are saying Tipperary play, you know, a certain style and they don't worry about anyone else, but you can be sure that they have little tactics, you know, between whether it's, you know, if Canning is coming inside, you know, if he's taking these solo runs, you know, make sure we get a hit on him early on, you know, because if you can disrupt him, you disrupt a lot of what happens inside. The same with Cooney, let's rough them up a bit and see do they like it like that. But yeah, you're right, the matchups will be great to see. Like, will Doughty Burke take up Callan straight away? You know,
he will, no matter where he goes, you'd imagine. No, or is that
you would imagine the way they're both physically nearly the same, but you know, I'd be worried a little bit if the Tipperary play two inside and they leave Burke on him and there's an awful lot of space there and Callan's getting that ball, I don't think Doughty Burke would be able for him.
Yeah, see, Callan has experience on the wing. I agree with you, Damien. I think you need to pull a rabbit out of hat here. Like, Callan can play centre half forward. Let Callan go out, let Ford, if he's playing, work around the middle and leave two inside. Like, something has to change here, because the last two All-Ireland semi-finals, Galway have had Tip's measure. Like, I know they lost last year, but they were by far the better team, I thought, last year.
Oh, I just think, as you said, with Tip might throw a rabbit out there and see what happens. But just on that corner, I wouldn't underestimate Doughty Burke. He's a fine hurler. And last year, I think we said the exact same thing about Doughty Burke. Would he be able for Shamey Cannell? And he was. You know, and Shamey was very, very quiet in that All-Ireland semi-final. No, I know he's a fantastic All-Ireland, but he was quiet in that. And basically, Doughty done a great job. And then he marked him tight, and he was tough, and he was rough, and he was manly on him, you know. But as you said, I'm just interested to see. You know, last year people didn't realise this. People said that last year David Burke had a fantastic game in the All-Ireland semi-final, and he did. Right? Fair is fair, right? But David Burke effectively nearly played as a sweeper last year, and Brendan Maher kind of done the same then for Tipperary. So it's going to be interesting to see, and we've all said it, if Tipperary push up on Joe and David Burke, who are their two major leaders, right, what will happen? Or will Tipperary leave like Brendan Maher back there to sweep and let David Burke go back there and sweep and let's go, you know, hammer it out? But I think it's going to be a tactical battle. I said this already, so I do, and I think it's going to be interesting to see, because Galway management have won up on the Tipperary management, so it'll just be interesting. I'm interested to see this battle.
A problem with Tipperary, I would say, and I remember Alan Brogan telling me this, and this is one of Jim Gavin's great qualities, isn't that he's absolutely ruthless. That when Dublin won the All-Ireland in 2011, I think I referenced this on the show before, that in 2012 Pat Gilroy pretty much stuck with that team. Obviously they got Dublin over the line, he had a huge loyalty towards them, he knew they could do it when it was needed, but in hindsight that freshness wasn't there, and that kind of, you know, one or two, three hungry lads that are in that didn't start All-Ireland. This Tipperary team is identical to last year's All-Ireland team outside of the full back line, and they're in force changes. Do you know what I mean? So Michael Ryan could learn to his cost that picking the same lads, that raw kind of desire that was there last year might not be there, Colin.
Yeah, you could say that, but I don't know, it sure didn't. Like, he's going to do something different, I feel. He did it like last year, you know, he didn't start Bubbles came on, and look what he did in getting the goal, probably won him the game. So that there's that. But it's going to come down to this. I think that there's going to be nothing between the two teams, and tactically, it's where it's going to be won or lost. And I probably agree with Damien on the line. It's going to be huge. It's a little small mistake or a little change in substitutions or something small is going to make the difference. Because in the last couple of years, there's only been a point or two between these teams anyway. So you know, it's all going to come down to the last couple of minutes. There's no doubt about that.
What's the best thing to do with the tip half back line, Damien? Because obviously we know they're great in the air. And they had Clare's puck outs in all sorts of problems because they won a few in the air early. Then Clare had to try and go short, and Tipperary dominated the short ones and really had Clare all over the place. Now, obviously, Joe Canning and Joe Cooney are very good in the air. Even Jason Flynn's good in the air, but I don't know if he'll start now. Like, did they try to challenge them in the air, or did they try to run them all over the place?
Galway's half four lane is Joseph Cooney, Joe Cannon. You could have Cahal Mannion, right? But they could possibly put out the likes of Niall Burke as well. They're three big men. So basically, they're going to puck the ball down on top of them. You know, there's going to be an odd time where Colm Canlan is going to puck the ball kind of into space. But most of the time, Colm Canlan kind of pucks the ball along. You know, he very, very seldom goes short or goes with a precision pass. He's completely... He's his own type of goalkeeper, you know. But I think he'll puck it down. I think they're going to puck it long and they're going to say try catch it. But the most important thing is if the ball goes to ground, who's going to win the dirty ball? Who's going to win the breaking ball? And that's where the middle eight is going to be really, really challenging the next day. And you'll see an awful lot of players coming in and out in that section. But I can just see the ball pucking. You know, he might hit it low to directory to Joe, who might come running onto the ball like this. But I see them challenging the Tipperary half back line, and sure, who better to know how to challenge him but Michal Dunne, who's involved with him for 2 years.
Yeah,
and he'll be able to tell them where all them players' weaknesses and where their strengths are and all that. But as you just said, it'd be interesting to see, like, for example, Michael Ryan, what's he going to do with Pádraig Maher if, for example, Galway put Cahal Mannion back out on him again, or let them put out Whelan on him or whoever the problem, and decide to run him over and back across the field? What is Tipperary going to do? Are they going to have this discussed with Pádraig Maher? Are they going to switch him into a different position, for example? Or, you know, it's because that's what happened in the league final, and next thing Cork did the exact same tactic.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be very, very interesting to see, because both teams, and especially Galway, Michal Dunne, to give the man praise and compliment him, he is a bit like Derek McGann, he is a bit like Davy Fitz. He's looking at the next move, he's looking at the different options, he's looking at game plans, he's looking at what switches can be made. They've all this discussed with their whole backroom team, so he's an up-to-date modern manager, and it's going to be massive game plans on Sunday.
But isn't it great for Galway to have that flexibility, especially for, say, their half-forward line? They can put three big men out there and contest it. And
they're the one team that can do that.
And they could switch those three, you know, two big men, you could say, Cooney and Canning, and if not working, let's go inside and bring the runners out. So it's a good flexibility to have and great options to have at their disposal.
I think it is. I think, like, I mean, most counties, like Clare had no answer there because they knew they couldn't go long because they don't have the size. And only when Duggan came on, he gave them that out ball. But, like, I mean, Galway have that right throughout the game with big men. Like, they're a physically huge team. And, Johnny Glynn is back as well, which could give him an option. Now, I don't know whether he's been injured, so he might not be fit.
But, yeah, just on that, on Damien with the short puckouts, you know, Galway, as players, I think, would always back themselves to win puckouts. They'll always put their hand up and look, they're always nearly thereabouts winning their own puckouts anyway, so they're not going to be shy and confident, and they're not going to be, you know, hitting short balls all the time. You know, they'll go long, they'll believe in themselves, and you can be guaranteed that they won't lose too many of them with the big men that they have there.
Yeah, lads, I want to talk to you about Bonner Maher, because, like, I mean, he's one of the most frustrating players against Clare. Like, I mean, the amount of ball the man wins, he's a real wholehearted player, and, you know, he's a fan's favourite. But, geez, he loses a lot of ball. Like, he goes on a solo run. He's like Kevin McManaman was before he brought a bit more to his game. He's so bloody predictable that Clare just knew exactly what he was doing, and they were flicking it away.
Well, I'll come in on this now, right? I am a big fan of Bonner Maher, and I said that to you before, right? And I know him well and all that sort of stuff, right? He's a lovely fella and all that sort of stuff, right? But what happens to Bonner is brainwashed. Bonner is programmed. Bonner is told, get the ball, take on the man, carry it, and hand pass the ball. Now, I felt sorry for Bonner the last day. Bonner actually could have finished the game against Clare the last day with 5 points, right? But instead, he finished with 2. right? And what Bonner's trying to do, Bonner's trying to be the wholehearted team player, and he's getting the ball and he's trying to carry and he's trying to lay it off to the John McGraths, the Noel McGraths, the Bubbles, the Shamey Cannons and all this. And at times there is where I think the other players around the Tipperary forward line should be giving him a shout saying throw the ball over the bar, right? But that's what has happened to poor old Bonner at times. Bonner's brainwashed and he's programmed to take on the ball and offload the boys, because his striking at times is not the best, especially off his left hand side. He's not the greatest striker, and off his right hand side, which is his favourite side, sometimes it lets him down, but and has proven in All Ireland that he missed a goal there against Kilkenny in a vital stage, right, where he struck the ball bad. But that's what happens, Colin.
Yeah,
he told it. He's the playmaker. He's the man that gives the assist. He's the man that breaks the challenge and go through and create goals. And there's times when, yeah, he over carries the ball and he takes too much of it, but he's trying to do it for the good of the team. And as I often say, the other forwards should let him know that he's trying to put the ball over the bar like this. But he's a big player. He's a big player for Tipperary. He was one of the main reasons, right? Once again, to give the man a bit of praise, he was one of the main reasons, so he was last year, why Tipperary beat Galway. And I remember one particular incident where he's chased and he harrowed after David Burke and he got in a hook and a challenge and the ball went up the field and Tipperary got a score at a vital, vital stage. And he is the heartbeat of that team with his work rate, and he's a crowd favourite and he's a pleaser and all this. But that's what happens, Colm.
Yeah, and I think he's right. I think it just reminds you, sometimes when you're in a squad like that and you're being praised for doing the simple things, as in like Bonner Maher does, he does it so well, taking on his men. I bet you if you went back and watched Bonner Maher in his club, you know, he'd be striking ball over the bar from everywhere, you know. But when you get into that team, you know, your job is just to do this, and you nearly get railroaded to think, you know, oh, well, I'm in a bit of space here, but I shouldn't be shooting. I should be passing to someone else. Where is everyone? And then you get caught up in all that. And it's very easy to get, as Damon says, you do kind of nearly get brainwashed into, this is my job, this is my role, that's all I can do. And then when you get that space, you're like second thinking, you know, Jesus, will I put this over? Well, or no, I better not, you know. And
yeah,
you can't have that. And I think,
you can't have that, no.
No, you not. And it takes away from your game nearly, because he's there because he's obviously a top quality hurler, and there's no doubt he can obviously sometimes he's mishitting it, but I think he's still a good hurler and he needs to be just praised, and I think given more opportunities and given the freedom to go and score himself, because he gets into these great positions, but too many times he's looking for the pass, you know. Okay, it's on a lot of the times, and because people get attracted to him because he goes in these solo runs, but sometimes he's wide open to have scores himself and keep going instead of trying to pass it off, because he's a really, really, really important part of this Tipperary team, and he needs to be scoring more, I think.
Yeah, I think if your manager starts telling you not to shoot, your head is gone straight away.
Once you
start double guessing that, you're gone. Like, if any doubt comes into your head as you're going to strike, I had it under leash managers and I wasn't the most accurate player on the turn. But like, I mean, straight away you're double guessing and you're not sure whether to lay this off. You know the chance is on, but you're not sure if that's what's wanted from you.
You're not fully thinking about
it. You're double thinking stuff. And instead of just playing your natural game, and if it goes wide, it goes wide. That's what you should do. You know, that kind of way. And I understand they try to coach you to be better, but I think you can also mess with players' heads sometimes too. But Bonner Maher, I thought Clare had his number, because Clare just let him go on the solo run and actually waited to knock it, to dispossess him. You know, I thought they had his card marked very well, because I've never seen him lose possession as much as that. Usually he is an impact player, but Clare seemed to go, we know what he's going to do, don't rush in on him, he might knock you off, just shadow him, wait for him to put it on his hurley and we'll get it off him.
Yeah, no, they certainly did very well on him, but I would still say that, you know, Bonner Maher getting the ball in his hand on the turn is really, really hard to stop. And maybe it's very hard, you know, to be very disciplined and to let him, you know, to stay off him a few yards and let him play the ball, because straight away you want to get in and you want to get contact and you want to get the ball back as
quick
as
you can. He wants you to do that, though, doesn't he?
He does, that's what he wants. He wants you to come in and all he's just going to pop it over your head and you know, the next man in is going to get it. But yeah, it does take a lot of discipline, and it's very hard to do in the big games to hold off him a little bit. But maybe it is the thing, as Clare did, to do that.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, lads. I want to finish up because we're going over time here on the Tipperary fullback line, because we touched on it with Cottle Barrett. So Cottle Barrett's not in, right? So what do Tipperary do with their fullback line now? Because Clare obviously scored 3 goals on him. Well, the 2 goals was really from their fullback line. James Barry is in the corner now. He seems to be sacrificed where he did nothing wrong all last year at fullback. But now they're stuck for a cornerback, so he's moved out because Hamill is a more natural fullback. And what do Tipperary do here? Do they play Barry back in full back and bring in a corner back, or do they stick with what they have? Like, I mean, if Michael Ryan sticks with what he has, and we know how good the Galway full forward line is, like, I mean, he's going to have to be slated here because the writing's on the wall. If he changes it and they get slated and they get roasted, he'll be criticised as well. So he's kind of, you know, in a no-win situation here. I would be always of the opinion, change it. Like, I mean, because if you don't change it and you lose, you'll never forgive yourself.
Yeah, like, that is true. He may change a personnel, but I definitely think he'd be more aware of the distance between the fullback line and the halfback line. The halfback line need to be conscious of not overexposing the fullback line. They need to be playing a little bit deeper than they were, because playing out, you know, if they play too far out, you know, and they're following their men, like Canning is going to obviously drift out a little bit. If they go too far out, it doesn't matter who is in there. If they're given decent ball in and the space, you know, it means trouble for that fullback line. So he may put in a different player, but ultimately, as a unit, they need to play a little bit tighter and closer together, I would feel, and especially in Croke Park, they can't afford to get exposed like they did the last day.
Right, okay, Damien. Is that like maybe Paddy Maher drop back and help them out? But then if he's on Mannion, he can't really do that. So, like, I mean, there's a lot of thinking for Michael Ryan to do in that full back line.
Yeah, well, everyone is saying about their full back line. My own honest opinion is I think he'll stick with them. I think he'll stick with the same backline. I think he'll sit them down and he'll motivate them lads to the last. You have to remember now, you've got Hamill there now and you've got Barry, two big men, right? They're going to go in on Conor Cooney and they're going to go in on Niall Burke or we'll say whoever, right? They're going to leave Maher in Mark and Wheel, right? I can say he's going to back them lads. That's it. I think, like, is the team pictures Marvin, did he stick with the same goalie, or did they name the team as in?
No, we don't know.
No, well, I think he should go back. He should change his goalie, right? That's where I think there's a major issue there at the minute, and I think he'll back the full back line, and I just have this sneaky suspicion that Tipperary full back line mightn't be the problem area, if there is a problem area for Tipperary next year. And you have to remember, to be fair to that full back line, that was a fantastic clear full forward line the last day. It's a very, very dangerous line, so it is, with three top class players like this. So that was an education to them three boys, and every game will bring you on an awful lot. But I think he'll back them, and I think he'll stick with them, and I think he'll change his goalie.
Do you think he's going to change his goalie? Like, Gleeson only played against Dublin because Mooney was injured. Like,
I think Gleeson is a better puck out. I think he's more experienced, so I do, and I think maybe he'd be more. You take the likes of Barry, right? He played behind Barry, Gleeson did, so I think they'll change the goalie. That's what I think. I think they'll stick with the same half-back line. But do you know what I have a concern over? Here's a question. We're all talking about how fantastic the Tipperary forward line are again, right? And when we talk about how good the Tipperary forward line, sometimes they can absolutely be terrible, right? And sometimes there's no in-between with the Tipperary forward line. They're either brilliant or either they're completely off, right? And just to say, I think this is a big, big game for Galway. It's a massive game, but then I ask myself, is there a big game in Tipperary? Can they put two back-to-back All-Irelands? That's what everyone is wondering. Are they that good of a team? But the full back line, I say he'll stick with it and he'll change his goalie. He'll put Gleeson back in goals.
All right, great stuff, lads. We'll come back here with some predictions.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we have a farm back home, so we have a big farm back home, and we have cattle and sheep, and we have a few donkeys as well. So we had a couple of filly donkeys, so I brought them down, and so we did, we actually sold them to I think I had four donkeys on the day, and we sold them to a man from Wexford. So we did. So there's the piebald donkey still there, and there's the traditional donkey, and there's the Spanish donkey, and then there's the
Spanish donkey,
they call it. Yeah, you see them on the beaches and everything. So yeah, you can actually, one time the donkey was useless, right? But now some people have started to get back into them, because you can use them for headage, and it's used towards your bonuses, your grants. A donkey in Eden, a donkey in Eden Palace.
Right, as this is pretty close in the betting, Galway are favourites at 10 to 11 and Tipperary 6 to 5, so there's very, very little in it. This is one of these predictions where often predictions are fairly obvious and you're like having to bring handicaps into the situation. The handicap here is -1, but that's not, you wouldn't even be entertaining a handicap here. Galway or Tipperary, Conal, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, look, I think, as we said earlier on, it's going to be really, really tight. There's going to be very little between the history has said that over the years. I just feel that this Galway team are just a little bit different than what I've seen in previous years. They're a little bit more steely, and I think the options that they have, you know, as we talked about, you know, in the forwards, you know, they can mix and match any six nearly they can. You know, if it's not working on inside, they can move lads out and they can bring lads in, and they're all different. You know, some are strong and some are fast, and I think that options could be really, really valuable against this Tipperary defence. You know, we've seen the Tipperary defence struggle at times when they have runners running really, really, really hard across the lines, which is not easy, as I know, as like a relatively big lad going over and back in Croke Park is tough going, and it'll wear you down in the second half. And
yeah,
can Galway keep it going? Of course they can, because they, you know, they have light players and they read a lot of speed. Well, we've talked about the maybe defence in Tipperary, the halfback man may be a little bit slow, like, but I would say just on the basis that Galway have had their number maybe earlier on in the season, and I think that with that little bit of changes that Galway can adapt to a little bit easier, maybe I would just tip Galway just about.
Okay, just about. Damien, I presume you're going to go with the same.
Well, it's like Colin, do you know if your brother got in a row, right, and no matter whether he was right or wrong, you'd go in and you'd back him, right? So basically what I'm going to do here now, right, I'm just going to give a Conal Keeney answer, because it didn't matter who Dublin played this year, Conal said that Dublin would win.
Oh, he's never backed against them. He was right. He was right. They went away to Cork and beat them, and yeah, I was like, Jesus, Keeney knows something. And then I don't think he got one right after.
It didn't matter who Dublin played, Keeney went and he backed his own. So in this case, I'm just going to back my own Galway. I think it's Galway's All-Ireland to lose. I really do. I think they have the players to do it, and I think it's going to be a great game, and I think it's going to be intriguing, the battle on the sideline with game plans. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, Galway, I'd go with Galway as well. I think Galway will win about 3 or 4 points. I think it'll be a little bit easier. An interesting one, I thought, lads, here. Tipperary score the first goal is 10-11. I just have a feeling that if there's going to be goals, maybe Tipperary might get the goals. Galway are 5-6 to score the first goal. So I don't know what either of you have any theory on whether that... It's another 50-50, really. It could be anything.
Like, Tipperary have history of getting goals, obviously, in Croke Park, but...
With that full forward line, you would think maybe Tipperary could maybe get an early goal or something, you know?
Yeah, if they click and they do perform as we've seen in Croke Park before. But I don't think the Galway defence are so solid at the minute. And coming up to this, I can't see... It's impossible to say. Look, they could get a goal earlier on,
yeah,
but Galway could get a goal.
That's a stupid one, because it's 50-50.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, here's a question to ask the two of you. Is this going to be a high scoring classic, or could it be like more of a cagey affair? You'd imagine, but with the two teams and the recent history, Damien, of the last few years, it's going to be a high scoring classic, right?
Yeah, I think there will be a lot of scoring in it. One thing over the years, anytime I ever played against Tipperary, they always let you hurl. I think it will be a lot of scoring like that, and goals, I'm going to say there'll be three goals scored on Sunday.
Okay. Right, I'm not sure what the betting.
Who scored them? I don't know.
Right. Well. Okay. Well. You seem so sure of how many goals are going to be scored, and then. Who's going to score?
There'll be two scored by Galway and one by Tipperary.
Right, okay. Now, okay, so first goal scorer here, lads. We'll leave it on this one. So I want you to give me your first goal scorer, and I'll see, is there odds for them? Conor Cooney's first favourite for Galway, Joe Canning second, and Jason Flynn is third. I'm not sure Jason Flynn is going to start. Shamie Callanan, obviously, is the shortest odds on both teams. John McGrath, and then Bubbles O'Dwyer. Michael Breen, you'll get him at 14-1. Seamus Callanan is 5-1. So, Conal, would you fancy a first goal scorer here?
I'll go with... I think there's going to be a... first goal scorer will be a penalty.
Ooh, okay. So penalty takers are Seamie Callanan and Joe Canning.
Yeah, and I think Galway get the first penalty.
Okay, so Joe Canning is 13-2 for first goal scorer. So there you go. That's Conal Keeney's thoughts. Damien, who do you think you're going to go for first goal?
My prediction, I'll go with Bubbles. And for Tipperary to beat Galway, Bubbles needs to put in a big one. He needs to put in a big, massive display, and he needs to put in a display where he will reward Michael Ryan with an awful lot of thanks. That is because he stuck by him, so he did. So Bubbles, they need a massive game out of Bubbles to beat Galway, and he's able to do it. He's a one real dangerous forward that can turn it on and make magic. So I go with Bubbles.
Right, Bubbles is 8-1, and you get Patrick Bonner-Marr. We've spoken about him a lot at 16-1 to break through the defence there and to rattle the net.
Yeah, well, he's the most dangerous forward, Bonner-Marr. That when he gets the ball, he turns and he runs for the black spot in the middle of the goals. He always does. He runs. And the one thing about Bonner as well, he's the best man to rise a ball in tight spaces and when there's a clubber of players. So I don't know how he does it. He just rises and jabs and off he goes. So he does. But so Bonner's going to be dangerous Sunday if he gets into this running frame, running at the heart of the Galway defence. He's going to be dangerous.
Just a question, Damien. If Galway get beaten on the weekend, how would you sum up the season for Galway?
Well, I've always said it, that the most important thing when you go training at the start of the season that you win stuff. No matter what it is. Last year, Galway got to an All-Ireland semi-final and should have beaten Tipperary, that's what everyone said. They won nothing, won no silverware, won absolutely no medals. This year, they're after winning the National Hurling League and they're after winning the Leinster. So for me, at this present moment in time, I've seen the season as a success. Now, you get people down in Galway and it's all about winning All-Ireland. It doesn't work like that. You know, you've got to build on success and you've got to build and put team and pattern and all that together. So at the moment, this year has been a success for Galway because we've won stuff, right? Now, coming up, it would be absolutely brilliant to beat Tipperary, and I think they will and they can go on and win in All-Ireland. But at this minute in time, I see the season has been a massive improvement from last year because we've won stuff and we've brought trophies home back to Galway and people are talking about Galway hurling. So at the moment, I think it's been a good year.
I'd agree with that, Conal, would you? Because like I suppose if you're Kilkenny, then that might be seen as not a successful year. But when Galway are not traditionally winning All-Irelands, to have a Leinster and a league title, you know,
you take Jose Mourinho. Every year, no matter who he's with, he's always trying to win stuff. And when he was with Manchester United, which was his first season, when the whole season was over, what did he say? He said, I won 3 trophies with Manchester United. Every year he wants to win stuff. He wants to put something on his CV to say what he won and what he achieved. And that's the way every player, when their career is over, what's he say? They write down everything they won. And I always give the example of the Kilkenny players. When the Kilkenny players were going up playing All-Ireland finals and they'd put down all the stuff they'd won, they used to always add in their Walsh Cup medals. Mickey Mouse competition. Yeah. No, they did. They used to always push. They wrote it in. It was something they achieved as players, as a group, as individuals and all that, and they used to write it in. So it's at the end of your career, when it's all gone, you can look back and go, I won this, I won this, I won this, I won this, you know, and the years that went by. So I think it's very important to always be winning stuff and picking up winner medals and trophies and all that as the years go by.
The greedy pups put their Welsh Cup winners down. Would they even remember their Welsh Cup? How many
you'd
Welsh
be surprised.
Cups?
They don't forget. Yeah. I've seen them in the pictures and they have the Welsh Cup there right beside the Liam McCarthy and everyone's like, what's that? Like, only a few lads would know what it is.
Excellent stuff. Jeez, maybe that's an indication of why they were such machines, because actually Mick Ryan was even saying like how they did what they did for that length of time, like when the struggles Tipperary are going through, just tried to win it twice. Like, I mean, it's on a different level how Kilkenny did that.
Colin, the saying is win as much as you can for as long as you can, because sometimes that group of players might never ever come again. And look at Kilkenny now. Kilkenny are down a downhill turn at the minute where them players will never be seen again. So win as much as you can for as long as you can when you have a group of players that are committed.
Wise words from Damien to finish up on. See you on Monday for a review show. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today. Because, like, I'm heartbroken. Let it go, because I won't see you later on. But not a lot of talking out. I said I'd go, promise I won't show. But I'm soon trying to figure out.